Interlude. The city of Binjai Tin, Nag Abdur.
The jagged campanile towers of the Abdurian homes lie shattered. Bodies lie underneath, crushed, shot, lanced, dozens of them. The stink in the air is strong. Rotwings form blurry clouds above the corpses, the insects buzzing with endless hunger. Tracine Kane pulls the white cloth over her mouth. Her nostrils are rimmed with salt dust. Commander Norwich said it would help prevent the smell from reaching her, and though it has diminished it considerably, still she smells the pickled, rotten stench of the dead. She lifts a finger and waves Lug toward her. The Trandoshan stomps over. None of this seems to bother him. He's fond of telling her about life among his people, hunting and killing and reveling in death. He's not like that, not like the other reptilians, but it was still part of his childhood.
You want the shot set up, boss?
Right here, she says, holding the cloth over her face. Get that collapsed wall in the frame.
It has a dynamic shape, the tower broken, the wall shattered in just the right spot, and one body slumped over it. Lug grunts a command to the camdroid. It's an upgraded model, ruggedized and battle-hardy. The little floating droid with one telescoping eye hums along, pulsing flashes as it takes a series of still shots to frame out the hologram. It burbles and bleeps.
I'll get Norwich, Lug says.
No,
Tracine says, shaking her head.
Go get someone more common. We need to sell this to the common citizen, and that means putting the common citizen on cam. Get me a soldier, a private, a trencher.
As the big reptilian grunts and starts to walk off, she catches him by the arm.
How's my hair?
I don't know. It's hairy.
I'm going for battle-frizzled, but still well-kept, you know? An order to the chaos, a well-designed non-design.
Sure.
She rolls her eyes.
Thanks, Lug.
You got it, Trace.
He winks one of his eyes, an unnerving gesture, as a nictitating membrane slides sideways over the eyeball. It's meant to be playful, but it only comes across as monstrous. He saunters off. Things have changed for her in the last months. She's gone from the cushy platform of safe worlds and out into the galaxy. The war between the Republic and the Empire has gone hot. The New Republic keeps pushing the Empire back, and the Empire grows more and more desperate, like a cornered feral. Plus, the Holonet's mandate has changed. With the Imperial controls on what can be broadcast broken, the network is free to show the real story. Free to get into the middle of the fight and reveal the truth. Tracine said she needed to be on the front lines. So, by all the gods of all the stars, they put her on the front lines. Now it's her and Lug out here in the thicket of war. Nag Abdur in the Outer Rim. Home to the native Abdurians, plus the transplanted Keldar and Arteodak refugees, has seen a brutal pushback by the Empire. That most likely because the bedrock of Nag Abdur is flecked with cerium, an ore essential to the making of Durasteel. The Empire has strip-mined this world down to its nub, and still it keeps finding ore. As such, they're not keen to give it up, so they've bitten down hard and won't unclench. Norwich said he suspects that the forces here aren't really under anyone's command, beyond what exists in the Abdur system, meaning they're cut off from the Empire proper, making this yet another rogue Imperial remnant hunkering down, taking control, and either waiting for backup or carving out their own mad little fiefdoms. As such, the Imperials here have grown more and more brazen, driven, it seems, by desperation and fear. The massacre here in Binjai Tin is just one such example. They came in, swept through like unholy fire, killing everything in their path. That is unlike the Empire. The Empire has always been known to keep its populace in check, punish 10% to keep the 90 in line. This is not that. This is a whole other level, murderous and foul. Right now, she knows that only 10 clicks away, over the tussock and past the sedge, the Imperials have dug in. They've excavated trenches. They've got walkers, ties, a new garrison. A fight is coming. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. And Tracine will be along for the ride. Her and Lug filming it all so the galaxy can see the valiant Republic against the venomous Empire. Speaking of her Trandoshan cam operator, Lug returns, hauling a new Republic soldier by the arm. It's some young, wide-eyed Capoan. His face pelt hangs bound up in a series of braids, helmet askew and pushing forward his eye stalks. He looks lost, shell-shocked even.
"What's your name?"
she asks. He blinks at the camera, then at Lug, then at her. The Capoan has the look of a lost child. She pats his arm.
"It's okay. We're not on cam yet. Can you tell me your name?"
He says,
"Roryth Kadur, private in the NR."
His voice is a tremulous growl. He's not comfortable, but he'll have to do. The rest of the soldiers are counting the dead, setting up triage, building a camp. More women and men of the Republic keep trickling in, and will over the next several hours, given the long line of them outside the city's shield gate. Without warning, she holds up 3 fingers, then counts down. Lug wraps a knuckle against the cam droid, and its eye lens goes from red to green.
"And we're on," she says.
The soldier looks flummoxed, but then he nods.
"Tell me about yesterday, Private Kadur,"
she says.
Yesterday?
He blinks.
"Right. We encountered Imperial forces on the Govna Ridge. It's like a plate shift where the ground bulges, and these tall crystals grow alongside it. And the Imperials were waiting for us. They came out of nowhere. It was intense. My squad leader, Hachinka, she got it in the neck. A blaster shot hit her, and the spray caught me on the face. And..."
He has to take a second. She lets him. It's good drama. The cam droid has a high enough resolution, too, that it'll capture and confirm what Kadur said. In his face, she sees the flecks of dry blood that belonged to his leader.
"We got her out of there, and she's still holding on. We lost a lot of good men and women, but we did it. We took the ridge."
She holds up a finger, and as the cam droid pivots toward her, she instructs it,
"Mark it. Run segment Govna Ridge footage."
She already edited together a package of clips from last night. The cam droid will auto-splice it into this interview and send when they uplink to the HoloNet servers. Kadur seems confused as to what's happening, but she just smiles as reassuringly as she can. Tracine gives the droid a second as it runs through a catalog of beeps, then continues.
"Private Kadur, can you tell me where we are and what you believe happened here?"
His tongue licks his lips. It makes a raspy sound. And he says,
"This is an Abdorian city. A merchant city. Binjai Tin. A mostly Abdorian population. The Empire. They came in here and..."
His voice cracks.
"They slaughtered everybody. These people weren't soldiers. They were already under the boot, you know? Weren't allowed to carry blasters. Had to give a percentage of all earnings to the Empire. And what did it get them? This... a massacre."
The Capoan soldier flares his many nostrils. Tracine sees that he's at the edge of breaking. It's not his fault. She decides this is good enough. The footage will speak for itself, And anything else he has to say won't come close to the impact in the way he said that last word. Massacre. She tells him he can go, and thanks him. As he starts to walk away, Lug steps in front of the Capoan and gives him an awkward hug. The Trandoshan isn't good at affection, really. The hug is stiff and uncomfortable, and has all the warmth of a protocol droid romancing a tree stump. But she supposes it's the thought that counts. Then Lug hands the man a small token. A tooth broken off a Zlag fiend, which, she understands, is some kind of many-mouthed, dagger-fanged hell predator. Lug killed one when he was a boy, still hunting for his pack. He kept the teeth, of which there were many. Lug says to Kadur, as he says to all the soldiers with whom they speak,
"It's good luck. Take it. I tied it to a length of gut cord so you can wear it around your neck or wrist, or just take it."
Kadur nods, then clasps Lug's hand before walking off.
"You're nice the way you do that,"
she says, a wry smile on her face. Lug shrugs and offers a growl hiss.
"They have it hard enough."
He almost looks sheepish about it. She laughs.
"All right. We need to get an uplink on the highest point."
She gestures toward a guild tower. It's half collapsed, but even broken, it's still pretty tall.
"Get the beam comm set up there."
"That's high."
"And you can climb."
Another disappointed hiss.
Fine, yeah.
He turns, starts walking. No spring in his step, of course, because Lug has two speeds, slow and slower. And she turns to look back at the gathering soldiers coming into the city square, setting up tents and generators. A gonk droid meanders about. Two soldiers splice a pair of cables together with a shower of blue electricity. Then their eyes turn heavenward. Panic registers on their faces. Before she can turn, Tracine hears the sudden sound. TIE fighters, twin engines shrieking. She turns to look, and sure enough, a dozen of them framed against the purple sky. Coming in, and coming in fast. Tracine expects the obvious. Lasers cutting across the city, digging furrows in the cobble rock, tearing through soldiers, and maybe even her if she's not lucky. But no lasers. And yet the TIEs keep coming. She turns, screams for everyone to get back. They're setting up weapons and turrets, but it won't matter. Tracine grabs the cam droid and tucks it under her arm, running like hell toward Lug, yelling for him to run too. Now! Fast! Go! The first TIE fighter hits the ground about 150 meters away. It plows into the wall surrounding the Binjai Tin City Square, and a massive fireball belches into the air. Stone and scrap rain down around her, and the ground shakes like it's throttled by a quake. It's the first, but it's not the last. The Imperial starfighters punch into the city, one after the next. Suiciders. The ground shakes so hard, she loses her footing. The cam droid tumbles away, its lens cracking. She hears screams and sees the space above smear behind a gauzy haze of superheated air. And then she closes her eyes, her ears ringing. It keeps going until it goes no more. In the darkness behind her eyes, all she can do is think,
how desperate they must be to send these pilots on a suicide mission.
Because that's what this is. TIE fighters flung to the surface? Each a weapon unto itself? Those bastards! She tastes dirt and blood. Tracine has no idea how many TIE fighters hit or how long it took. With a groan, she lifts herself up on wobbly arms. where the soldiers were entering the square, is now a TIE interceptor, smashed into the ground, fire crackling and circuits popping. Bodies lie around. Others are alive, running for cover, weeping or mobilizing in case it means incoming troops. She sees Kadur not far away, standing in the middle of it all, dizzy and bewildered. One of his arms is missing. Sheared off, it seems, from a piece of fighter debris stuck in the ground nearby. He waves at her. Such a strange gesture. But in her short time out here, she knows that trauma will do that to you. It'll leave you spinning like a top. In that waving hand of Kadur's is a fang, dangling on a leathery cord. Lug! She turns toward her cam operator. No! No! Where he stood is a wing panel from one of the TIEs, bent up and smashed into the ground. Tracine cries out and runs toward it. If anyone can survive something like that, it'll be Lug. Trandoshans are built like steel rebar, swaddled in scale armor. She once watched him headbutt a jukebox in half because it wouldn't play his song. Didn't make a mark on him. But there, she sees an arm. His arm, splayed out across the broken stone. She sees his face, too. Lug's head half crushed underneath the metal. Tracine hurries over on her hands and knees, calling his name. That name dissolving on her lips into a blubbering gush. His eyes are open, but empty. Blood runs from his mouth. He's gone. She weeps for a time. How long, she doesn't know. Long enough that night starts to creep in, like a thief. Someone comes over, checks on her, and she shoos them away with a swipe of her nails. Eventually, she stands and feels the cold reality settle into her veins. Then, she does what she does best. She goes, picks up the cam droid, hits it a few times until it's working, then she brings it back to Lug's body. She crouches down, turns on the cam, and speaks into it, trying very hard not to cry.
This is Tracine Kane, HoloNet news reporter, embedded with the New Republic 31st, and I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine. A friend the Empire just stole from me.